Dear Heavenly Father, would you please speak to our hearts? Push aside all the things of this world, the things right now that are bringing our pain, or Lord, the things that maybe we're captured with some of the good things of life and our mind has wandered or whatever it might be, Lord, but there's nothing better than having you fill our minds and hearts at this time in worship to you. And as we open up your word, and we've studied hard, Lord, and help me with the presentation. I would honor you above all else, and I would have had in mind, Lord, each of us here today as I went through this. Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit would teach us. We lift ourselves before you for your blessing. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. What do we call a person who has been raised from the dead and is walking around like he or she is still alive, but they're still really dead? Hint, starts with a Z. A zombie. Now, okay, that's a little silly, but let's not let it be too silly, because there's a real point, I think, as we picture that, because we have somewhat of a parallel in the biblical realm. The Bible speaks of this person that I would speak of that's a parallel to the zombie. The person that's dead but walking around like they're alive is the old man. Or, and I think I won't even get in trouble for saying this in this context, the old woman. This person cannot let go of the old life. Not just the old outwardly sinful life, but the old life, period. The old man, the old woman, they refuse. Was Die Hard with a Vengeance, I think there's the name of a movie. Well, I know there's the name of a movie. And that's what the old man, the old woman, we don't want to go down. It's dead man walking, dead woman walking. This person has yet to grasp the concept of walking in the newness of the life that Jesus Christ has brought to them. They have yet to embrace the new creation that they have been made to be in Jesus Christ. Would you turn with me to Romans chapter 6, verse 1? Romans chapter 6, verse 1. You remember what Chris Carter, Hall of Fame wide receiver for the Minnesota Vikings and Philadelphia Eagles, you remember what he says? I saw this. They have even an ESPN segment now, and that segment's called Come On, Man. Well, this is verse 1 here, and maybe into verse 2 even. Paul saying, come on, man. What shall we say then? Come on, man. Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Now, it might seem as plain as the noses on our faces, but the fact is that grace is for life and righteousness, not sin. But apparently this comes up because Paul's dealing with it, and he just wants to set us straight as we go on. And he says, are we to continue sinning that grace may abound? Now, will grace abound when sin increases? Yes, it will. We have to get the whole purpose in mind that God wants to pour his grace out on us in an abundance that's unbelievable beyond our comprehension. But it is for life and righteousness. And we looked at that last week. So let's just stroll a little bit back into those previous verses from last week. Go to 5:15. The free gift. Romans 5:15, the free gift, not like the trespass, for many died through one man's trespass. Here we go. Much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. Verse 17, if because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Down to verse 20. Now the law came to end to increase the trespass, to show us, it's kind of like a test, like you do a pressure test on a radiator. And there'll be leaks that won't be obvious until you do the pressure test. Those guys of you that are a little more mechanically inclined know what I'm talking about. You do that pressure test and you find the leaks. Well, the law kind of served that purpose. But where sin increased, what? Grace abounded all the more. Verse 21, that as sin reigned in death, grace also might reign through righteousness, leading to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? No. The purpose of grace, and God wants to shower it on us, pour on us in abundance that we can't comprehend, because that's who God is. He is over the top in his generosity and his grace. His undeserved, unmerited favor is no different. Grace is for righteousness and life. Grace is for righteousness and life. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Verse 3, do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried with him. We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like this, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Paul's analogy there is a dead person doesn't sin anymore. They're set free from that. They're set apart from that. If you in your study sheets in the middle there, we have this foundational work that Jesus Christ has done. And this is what Paul has been laying out for us all through this letter to the Romans. And he speaks of this specifically in 1 Corinthians. If you want to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. He speaks of these foundational works. And what are these foundational works? Well, Christ died for our sins. He was buried. He rose again the third day. Foundational work of justification. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Foundational. We have other foundational things that happen too, that were sealed with his Spirit. We are baptized into Christ. All of these at the moment of belief. We're baptized into Christ. We're baptized into his death. We're buried with him in death. Our Romans 6 text tells us. Paul said, I'm laying this foundation. Now, in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 10, Paul says, according to the grace of God given to me like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation and someone else is building on it. Let each one take care how he builds upon it. Let me just stop here just for a moment. You better believe I take care. You with me on that? You better believe that I take care. When I stand here before you, I stand here before God. Okay? I take care. I don't throw it out there. I don't, it's now, boy, I've got the pulpit, now I'm going to say my stuff. I don't have a soapbox. Well, I'm not perfect. Maybe sometimes I do. As your pastor, believe me. Now, you may or may not believe me, but I believe me. I think God's spoken to my heart. When I build on this foundation, oh, man, I take the utmost care. Because I not only have an obligation to you, before my obligation to you, and he's here right now, I take care what I build. I take care what I speak to you. I take care what I print on these sheets. I do it before God. And I do it with a clear mind, clean hands, and a heart that's right before God. Continuing, for no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, it goes on with some other really good things and the rest of that, and it goes on, and we build on that, and it could be precious stones, or it could be wood, hay, and stubble, and all that. But let's just stop. This is what Paul is talking about. There are foundational works. Well, why are we talking about that? Because we've run into more of those foundational works here in Romans, and Paul's trying to tell us that these things here, being baptized into Christ Jesus, baptized into his death, buried therefore with him by baptism into death, these are not just pictures of things. These are not just analogies. These are not just dramatizations. These are spiritual events that happen as the foundational work built on Jesus Christ, things that the Holy Spirit does at our time of conversion. Why are we talking about that? Because Paul wants us to know the foundation we have under our feet. He wants us to know what we have going for us. Have you ever bought something, not something, one of these things where you get it and you're really disappointed with it, but you get it, and man, it is really cool. It's really powerful, or it's really, I mean, it's, everything works on it. And the salesman, and he said, look at this, what it'll do. And you're like, wow, it'll do that. He said, you haven't even seen the half of it yet. Look at this over here. And let me tell you about this motor, how economical it is. It's got 110 horsepower, but this thing has got the zip and it gets 50 miles to the gallon. I mean, you've got something here. Well, folks, we've got something here in this gift of salvation that talked about up here. The abundance of grace and the free gift, just that combination, it just comes out. God wants to pour it out on our lives. Walking in new life is better than walking in old death. If you'd turn with me to Ephesians 2, verse 5 is where we're going to start. It's speaking of this foundational truth, because we're back on this idea of grace, and I'm thinking, well, this is what God is saying. He's bringing, Paul builds the story. And he's building the story, and he's bringing grace. And he's showing us that grace abounds. Grace is not the servant boy or the servant girl to my sin. Grace reigns. And it tells us that when we're trying to die to sin and live to righteousness, that there's going to be a battle on, and we're going to need what? Starts with a G. Grace. And lots of it. And lots of it. Well, it just so happens. It's like, look what we've got here. It just so happens that this is exactly how God has planned it. In verse 5 of Ephesians. Nope, let's go to verse 4. But God, rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. Foundational work in our salvation. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Foundational work of the Holy Spirit at the time of our conversion, at the time of our belief. Why? Well, why is God laying this wonderful foundation? Why is Paul speaking to us about it? Verse 7, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. What's that telling us? God's laying this foundation. We believe in that because God says, believe in what I'm telling you. Trust in what I'm telling you. First, know what God has prepared for us. We study our Bibles, but it's more than just Bible study. We live that out because we don't really live it. You know, the salesman could tell us this car. He said, man, this thing, well, you get 40 miles to the gallon, but it's really got some zip. And pass cars on the highway. And he said, that all sounds pretty good, but when do you really know it's got some zip? You get in there and you push that accelerator down to the floor, boy. You went by them and whoops, when you let off the accelerator, it dropped past 80. Now, I wouldn't know that from personal, I wouldn't know that from personal experience. Can't be lying up here after all these things I've said. But that's when we know it. You get you one of these beautiful KitchenAid mixers, and boy, they promise it'll do this and it'll do that. Well, when do you really know that it'll do that? Yeah, stick that thing, it flips that dough around, and that's not the technical term for it, but you know what I'm talking about. Whatever it might be, you know that when you put it in action. It's not when it's just here, when we put it in action, and that's what it's talking about, that we need to embrace the newness of life in Jesus Christ. God wants to pour out his immeasurable grace. This is why he's laying this foundation. Back to our Romans text then. Verse 7, one who has died has been set free from sin. Verse 8, now if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. And I needed to go back one more verse. Let me go back to verse 4. We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we had been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. See, we need to know these promises that God puts out before us, and then we need to step into them and live in them. See, sometimes when it talks about here, are we to continue in sin? Now, you notice sometimes Paul gives a list of sins, and he'll say immorality or drunkenness or gossip or slander. And he didn't do that here. And sometimes we want to get that list out. And, of course, we want to make sure none of our vices are on that list. But sometimes we need to just look in general. And I think in general, as we look here, are we... Is it the dead man walking or the dead woman walking? I mean, have we ever embraced the new creation? 2 Corinthians 5:17. We're a new creation now. Or is it we're like a zombie Christian? We're like the old person, and it's like, well, that old person wasn't too bad. See, that's what some of us have to deal with. Now, I didn't have that to deal with because I was a crazy, wild young man, and it's a wonder I didn't kill myself. God showed me my foolishness. God showed me my lostness. But some of us, we had a lot of things going for us. And it's not like these flagrant sins, but the sin is that I'm not letting go of the old man and asking God to put in my hands the new life. Let me give you I'm going to give you an example just from the business world, and then we're going to look at Peter as an example. From the business world, you got this guy, and he's an astute businessman. And I've heard conversations like this. In fact, I've been basically told to recruit like someone like this. Teflon was the one man's business. They were building a house on the peninsula, which meant he had the bucks. Get that man in here. Well, he had the bucks. He's a businessman. He's making money. We'll get him right on the board. We'll get him right on the board. We'll get him right there taking care of the finances, because he's got that savvy, he's got that ability. Slow down a little bit. That's the old man. Old man, before he knew Christ, he comes to Christ. Now, can God still use those earthly talents in his business savvy? Can God still use that? Yes, he can. Will God automatically use that? Well, make sure that we aren't having the old man try to walk around like the live man. Let's make sure that he's a spiritual man before we start having these things that we just bring from the old life. You follow what I'm saying? You may be really good at something, but is that what God wants you doing? And Merv was asking us this morning, he said, I don't know what God wants you to do, but he wants you to do something. That's true. You know why I think sometimes we miss that? because we're looking at the old man. Well, this is what I do. This is my realm. These are the circles I move in. Is that the old man or the new man talking? What might God do? Well, I can't do that. He talked about Moses. Moses, well, I can't. Well, if God puts you in a position to speak, then you'll speak. God puts you in a position to serve in a certain way. He will gift you for that. Jesus didn't want the old strong Peter, did he? Now, I hadn't thought of what Merv talked about, you know, when Peter lopped off that servant's ear. I have to admit, I hadn't thought about whether Peter was a skilled marksman or got lucky or just real good and said, I'll nip your ear off. That's just a warning to you or whatever. And Merv and some of them took the position that Peter was a skilled swordsman. But I wouldn't doubt that a bit, Merv. I wouldn't doubt that a bit. And I think he was probably a strong man. And they were fishermen and they could have been really good businessmen. Now, Christ saw something in them that he wanted to work. But if you turn with me to Matthew chapter 26. See, Matthew chapter 26, Peter's going to offer the old man for service to Jesus. And you know what? Carrie, forgive me. Forgive me. You know what Jesus told Peter when Peter wanted to offer the old man for service? That poor thing, she's got to deal with that. When Peter offered the old man to Christ for service, the sword swinger, the strong fisherman, the boisterous, Peter was probably a pretty neat guy before he was saved even. But it was the old man. Peter offered, and Jesus said, Peter, before, I won't do it again. I'd love to, though. Three times. You're going to deny me, Peter. You're going to have to go down in a flaming heap. Because from those ashes, Peter, I'm going to raise the new Peter that's going to be the foundation of my church. The old Peter would never have become that. Matthew 26, verse 30. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus said to them, you will all fall away from me, fall away because of me this night. For it is written, Jesus wasn't trying to be mean. He was just telling them what was going to happen. He knew it was necessary. They had to take this hit. It ripped Peter's heart out. What happened right after the rooster crowed the third time? He turned around and had eye contact with Jesus, didn't he? See, sometimes we got to have our heart ripped out to be ready for the new heart, for the new life. See, sometimes the old man, the old woman is just too good and we won't let go of them because, boy, we're so capable. We can do so many things well. And you know what the big trap can be, too? That we can do religion so well. And we're doing religion so well that this heart, this deceitful and desperately wicked, tells us we're doing God's work. But it's not God's work if we're doing it in the flesh. And it's not God's blessing if we're doing it in the flesh. The old man can't do the work of God. The old man went down, God said. You know why the old man went down, the old woman went down? So God would raise us up. And he said, you're there. In fact, he tells us that other work that I can't understand it, but we're already in the heavenlies in Christ. I told a new theology student that one time how I just couldn't comprehend that. And he said, well, here, he said, I can explain that to you. He just had a theology course. Well, I studied my theology. I knew it was true. I couldn't comprehend it then, and I can't comprehend it now, but I will embrace it. I will know it, and I will trust in it because it's part of what God has prepared for me that we can move on in the Christian life. It's things above and beyond us. Jesus said, you will all fall away because of me this night, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I am raised up, I will go before you to Galilee. Peter answered him, this is the old Peter, this is the old man, though they all fall away because of you. Now, some people, I guess we could look at Peter's pride, but boy, Peter loved the Lord. Peter loved the Lord. I'll follow you if everybody else can turn away from you, Lord. I'll follow you. I will never, they will all fall away because of you. I will never fall away, Jesus said to him. Truly I tell you, this very night before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. Peter said to him, even if I must die with you, I will not deny you. And all the disciples said the same. All the old men, the whole, 11 of them, because Judas had gone to betray. But when they became the new men, they turned the world upside down. Words of the Jewish religious leaders. They said, these men are turning the world upside down. We've got to stop it, or everybody's going to believe in the Christ. Isn't that something? Have we embraced the newness of life? Have we, instead of saying, well, I can't do this or I can't do that, have we embraced and we keep letting God teach us, if you've trusted in Christ, you are a new creation. Who is to say what you cannot do? We've talked about it before, too. There's one or two of us here over the age of 35. So big deal. I'm completely serious. Big deal. What can God do to us? If we say, Lord, we'll embrace the newness of life. We'll let you take out of our hands any of the old life that you want. And I'm not talking about just the, like I say, flagrant sin. Sometimes it can be sin because we're hanging on to it. This is how I do God. This is how I do religion. That's sin. It's the old man, and the old man can't do the work of God. It can look like the work of God. You can have 1,000 people telling you it's the work of God, or 500,000 people telling you it's the work of God, but it's not the work of God if it's the old man. But if it's a new man, even if we're old people, look out what God might do. Look out what God might do. You know, I wasn't up here this morning just to give us a Sunday school lesson or to embarrass my wife by crowing like a rooster. Let's each one of us, let God ask us as we pray here. Lord, what might I do? If I look at these foundational truths you've laid and I say, you know, dead to the old man, alive to the new man. I'm older, Lord. Sometimes my health isn't the best. Some of you have told me too. I was a little disappointed in you. It doesn't get any better. I don't know how long I'm going to wobble around with this hip. It's all up to God. It's all in God's hands. But just if we could ask, just as we pray here together, Lord, what would you have me to do? Lord, would you allow me to believe your promises that you are God? That's the whole thing, people. It's not about changing music or doing this or doing that. It's like, if God's here, we'll reach people. If it's new men and new women walking in the Spirit of our God, we will reach people. Would you pray with me? Lord, speak to our hearts. I think you already have, and just help us to not let go of these things, Lord, and your word's amazing, you're amazing and awesome. Father, help us to know where we're hanging on to the old life, and where we need to let go of that and embrace the newness of life. Father, help us to understand that. Do we see love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control? Do we see those things of the new life, Lord? Or do we see the old man living religion and choosing his own way, or the old woman taking the path that she chooses and not that you've chosen? Speak to our hearts, Lord. Father, what a beauty of a flock. What a beauty of a flock you have here at Faith Fellowship Church in Tennessee, Illinois. Bless us, Lord. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.